Gracious God, by your Holy Spirit, teach us from your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I've got lots of questions for you this morning, you'll be delighted to know, and not very many answers. You can give me your answers afterwards. I don't know if you remember, but about 6 months ago, we were thinking about hell. And today, you'll be glad to know, we're thinking about heaven. So, first question, what's your heaven? White sand beside a sparkling sea? Christmas morning with excited children tearing off wrapping paper? A Mozart aria? Tickets for the cup final? So, what's your heaven? Just turn, in about 5 seconds, turn to whoever's sitting nearest to you and say, oh, my heaven is so-and-so. Well, there's a lot of glee down there, so I'm itching to know. Any suggestions? Anybody willing to volunteer a suggestion? Oh, you've all gone quiet. Come on. Let's have one. Peace and quiet. Ah, is that a message? With or without fun. Okay. Peace and quiet, yes. Yeah, anybody else? Yeah? At the back.
The bird, first thing in the morning, 4 o'clock.
For the dawn chorus? Yeah.
4 o'clock.
It is about 4 o'clock at the moment. Yes, yes, not sure. Although I do like listening to the dawn chorus, I'm not sure that 4 o'clock in the morning is my favourite time.
The mountainside, covered in little flowers, and the medium.
Ah. A mountainside covered with flowers and with the dew sparkling on it. Ah, now that does appeal to me. Now, all these ideas are very personal. And we have to remember that Jesus did promise a personal heaven. He promised us many mansions, one designed particularly for each one of us. However, I just wonder about our idea of heaven. Is it? Would you agree that it's just a sort of blissful, fleeting interlude in the midst of some fairly mundane stuff? For us, our heaven is often an all too brief glimpse of rapture. Now, next question. Does it exist only in the mind and not in reality? You know, I sometimes wonder if when we get close up to the heaven, it just disappears. And do our ideas fit in with any of the pictures in the Bible? Well, first of all, you'll remember that the Bible both begins and ends in heaven. It starts with a garden where God walks with Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden. And it ends with a city, the city of light, where God is enthroned. Now, for myself, I prefer a garden to a city, but that's my preference. Next question. Is the kingdom of God the same thing as heaven? And what about life on earth and life in heaven? Are they separate? Are they distinct? And going back to what I said a few minutes ago, we do have our notions of heaven, like that beach and the sparkling sea, but is it just a mirage? In reality, when we actually get there on our summer holidays, the sun's too hot, the sea is full of jellyfish. It's just not quite as wonderful as in our imagination. So my next question, and I'm not going to give you any answers for any of these questions, is heaven on earth just wishful thinking? What did St. Paul have to say in the extract from the letter to the Corinthians? Paul puts life with Christ, which is heaven in my book, Paul puts life with Christ firmly in the hereafter. He says, while we're at home in the body, that is in this life, we are away from the Lord. And being with the Lord is, by implication, life after death. And then Paul says, but either way, in life or in death, Paul's aim is to please God. Not least because there is that threat. We're all going to be judged, and we must account for our lives. I always find that a bit uncomfortable. There's a lot in my life that wouldn't bear close scrutiny. And I do take comfort from the fact that there was an awful, that was true of Paul as well. There was a lot in his life that didn't bear close scrutiny. However, after he had met Christ, his overwhelming desire was to spread the message of Christ's love. Christ our Saviour, who died for love of our love. So what about Christ? What about Jesus? What does he teach about the kingdom of God? So we'll have a look at the gospel now. And once again, as we saw last week, Jesus is a big celebrity and he draws enormous crowds to hear his teaching. On this occasion, the crowd is so great that he gets into a small boat. I'm sure many of you have visited the shores of Lake Galilee, as I have. And it's actually a shallow bowl. It is a natural amphitheatre, which, of course, to the people of Jesus' day, there would have been many Greek and Roman amphitheatres around. They'd have been familiar with them. And from his seat in the boat, Jesus' voice is amplified. He didn't need electronics to help his voice carry. Everyone could hear him. He teaches using homely pictures, sowing seed, harvesting crops, things they would all have been very familiar with. And in this passage, he's teaching about the kingdom of God. And again, I'm asking, is that heaven? Well, Jesus says the kingdom of God is as if someone scattered seed on the ground. And what happens next? Well, of itself, the seed sprouts. Without human intervention, the stalk shoots first, and then the ear, and then the full head of grain. When the grain is ripe, it's time for the harvest. How are we to understand the story? Well, to me it suggests that the seed is the word of God, which spreads and grows through God's agency and not through our efforts, although just like the farmer who can prune and weed and water the seed to help it along, we can also help or hinder in the spread of God's word. However, once the grain is ripe, then it is time for the harvest. So what is the harvest? Well, I believe in this story the seed is the word of God. And the time when the harvest is ripe will be the time chosen by God for God's harvest, God's reckoning, when we will all be held to account. Jesus' second story is about the mustard seed. When I visited Israel, I was very keen to get some mustard seed. And they are indeed really tiny, tiny little specks. And I wanted to find a mustard bush as well. There are plenty of those around. But the bush, when fully grown, it's still a bush. It's not really quite a tree, But compared with this tiny seed from the beginning, it is pretty big. A tiny, tiny beginning can produce mighty outcomes. You know, there's the English saying, great oaks from little acorns grow. Again, Jesus seems to be suggesting that the kingdom of God or the word of God is a seed. It's small and insignificant at the start, but it will grow powerful and it will spread far. Now, both these stories are very much set in this world. They're set firmly in the soil of this world, not in some abstract and future heaven. The kingdom of God begins with Christ. It begins with his life, his death, his resurrection. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom will continue to grow. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can choose to join in and help grow the kingdom, or to hinder or to neglect the kingdom's growth. You know, I believe that the kingdom of God is both now and in the future, and that love is the key. Love of God, love of neighbor. And you know, it's always more fun, more rewarding, more life-enhancing to join in than to stand on the sidelines or turn our backs. And we can take heart from that last verse of our epistle when St. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. We have the task, we can be part of bringing heaven on earth. And it starts with love. So let's finish with a prayer. Watch over us, O loving God, that on our lips will be found your truth, and in our hearts your love, for his sake, who died for love of our love, even Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.